I wish I was in green old Whitley land, where beer is cool and hearts are warm, the friends all gathered round. Perhaps you think of me as I think of you. The jokes, the warmth, the fun, the girl behind the bar. But most of all, green old Whitley, most of all, I'm missing you. Someday I'm going back.
My lords, ladies, gentlemen and gnomes, I'm Rob Coronation London, and talking of a crowning, where are my two King and Queen podcasters? Firstly, our very own Jewel in the Crown. Yes, he's anointed in the holy oil of statistics. Introducing Sam Monarchist Sankey!
Hello, good morning.
And also, there's no holy oil on this chap, but nevertheless, he's lubed up, so all the bullshit he talks comes out of his arsehole. Why? It's Dennis Republican Waywell! Why? It's Dennis Republican Waywell! Ah, well, dead air. Now, the reason there's dead air is because Dennis has gone away in his camper van and he can't get any Wi-Fi, apparently, Sam. We did get a message from him yesterday. Looks like he's down in Devon somewhere. He's having a cream tea. Where was he again? Was it Bucks Fastly or somewhere where he was? Can't think where it was now. He did send something through him.
He was asking, was it jam before cream or cream before jam?
I got it at 8:48 p.m. Sydney time yesterday. It says, we're in Buck Fastly. Is it cream before jam here? And then there's a picture of him looking incredibly sunburnt with an absolutely huge cream tea in front of him. So
huge nose.
I mean, the great thing is, Sam, I mean, there'll be no bullshit on this podcast. We can actually talk rugby league for once.
There'll be no tackle bags. Hooray! Boo!
And also, I mean, if you think about it, as you know, if we continue to do this year after year, the likelihood of one of us dying, clearly it's going to be Dennis. I mean, you and I, absolutely perfect specimen. So it's a good sort of routine to get used to it, I think, really.
Do you know there's an eight-year life expectancy difference between North and South Warrington?
Yeah, I can imagine. And looking at that bloody Devonshire tea he's got there, Jesus, times that by two. Right, okay, well let's crack on then. We'll start with the Wakefield game. The team was Thulis, Russell, Metautier, Ratchford, Ashton, Williams, Drinkwater, Harrison, Walker, Vaughan, Curry, Nicholson, and Maguire at 13. Interchange bench was Dufty, Cassiano, Philbin and Bullock. So, would it be another melancholy weekend for Wakefield? Here's the highlights.
As Williams now tries to find a way through, offloads to Thewlis. Lovely jinking run from Thewlis, getting close to the line. He sells the dummy, that opens up the space, and Josh Thewlis is in for the Wolves. Warrington trying to pick up the pace up the centre of the field as well, and here's a break again from Warrington in support. It's Thewlis there for his second, two in quick succession. Good support play, and it's Smith. Smith's in the clear, rounds the fullback, and Morgan Smith, yes, he can score, just gets around the defence. The referee's happy. 'Cause you are my medicine. Wakefield still trying to probe at that Warrington line. Lino with the pass, and there's a try. Is there? Yes, there is. Kalepi Tanganoa. Again, it's Williams back inside. Oh, again, another big shot coming in from Proctor. It'll be a card, and it's red. Kevin Proctor will leave the field for Wakefield. They'll be down to 12 for the rest of this game. But Warrington, close to that Wakefield try line, giving it air, moving it along the line. There's Williams, long ball out wide, finds that space and Ashton's in. Here goes Williams again. Gets around the first line of defence, gets around the second, puts his head down and goes! Williams underneath the post for Warrington. And it's Smith for the kick. That's high. And nobody's really looking to put a name on that one, so it's allowed to bounce. And it's recollected by Morgan Smith, who goes around the outside. He's got support as well on his outside. Still trying to shrug off the tacklers. And eventually gets it away as well to Ashurst. And the space here. And Wakefield score. Just looking out for the day. As again we see Williams, who's going through, offloads, finds support from Ashton. Ashton with that pace, there go the afterburners, there's the acceleration. Matty Ashton, and that will clinch things for Warrington. They're heading back to the top of Super League.
Final score, Warrington 32, Wakefield 18. Daryl Powell saying Dufty was dropped to the bench due to his recent performances, but a little bird has told us, Sam, who saw him out drinking in Warrington a couple of weeks ago, that he's got a broken thumb. So I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that came from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, and he did have a strapping on his hand when he played, but whether it's broken or cracked or bent back a bit when he missed one of his previous week's tackles, I don't know.
We don't know. Okay, ninth minute, a static Wakefield defence sees Josh Thulis weaving in and out of four defenders before dummying and bravely diving over to score. Ratchford converts and it's 6-0. I mean, he doesn't half put his head in some places. I watched that back. I think there's three going in to kill him and that's it, isn't it? I mean, when do you stop doing that? What age do you get to before you start going, I'm not going to do that anymore? I think I've had enough of that.
I think that's why they say you've got to be a bit mad to play this game, haven't you? Because the more you know, or the more you study, the less likely you are to put yourself in danger. Mm. And he just really, he went in where it was going to hurt.
12th minute, good work from Vaughan down the middle leads to a quick play of the ball. Harrison runs through the line to feed the supporting Thulis and he's over for his second try. Ratchford cannot miss the kick from under the sticks and it's 12-0. Now at this point you must have thought, well, you know, we're going to run up a cricket score.
Yeah, at this point, well, I was thinking three things actually. I was thinking, one, we're going to run up a cricket score. Two, Daryl Powell's made a good call, hasn't he, putting Thulis at fullback. Mm. And then number three, I was fuming because, of course, I'm backing Dufty for the tries this year, aren't I? And I'd have fallen over the line for that second one, but instead it goes to either you or Big Nose.
Why? Why? He was playing fullback, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You're fullback.
Position. I get it for position.
I don't think, to be fair, you got the first one.
No.
But the second one. I mean, you know, if you got your wind up, I think you could have been there. Would have been fine. So, pretty good.
I tell you what I did like there, though, was Harrison in particular.
Yeah.
He broke the line. He may be a bit of a weak defence, but he broke the line. And then he slowed up and drew the fullback. You know, he showed a calm head. He did what you should do, what a professional player should, but he showed a calm head. It was brilliant.
But the fact we've had so many players who can't do that over the years kind of stands out, doesn't it?
Hmm. It does.
Okay, 17th minute, Wakefield from the halfway line turn the ball back inside during the tackle. It creates space for XY half, Morgan Smith, to run away as he makes the right option to go himself, rounding Thulis to score. Although there's some debate as to whether he grounds the ball with Russell and Curry twisting him over in the tackle onto his back. Another XY dagger adds the two and it's 12-6. I didn't realise when I wrote this, I just had his name down as Smith.
Oh, right.
And then I was like, oh, is it more? I didn't realise it was Morgan Smith. Mm. So, and he's 25 now. Where does time go? Like, you know, it seems 2 minutes ago he was 17, he was coming through.
Now he's the wrong side of his 20s. He was the next big thing, wasn't he? He really was going to be the next big thing. Was it Leeds we whipped him from? I think it was.
I just can't. Where have the years gone that he's suddenly 25? I could apparently Dwyer's. I mean, we'll come on to him later, but Dwyer's like 30.
Dwyer still only looks about 20.
23. I think what it is, Sam, is because we're not aging, and Dennis isn't here tonight, so there's no sort of, not got that sort of, you know, that those jowls on the screen. I think it's makes a big difference. That's probably why. 24th minute, more success for Wakefield. As close to the wire line, they move the ball from left to right. A disorganised wire left edge sees Tanganoa take his chance and go over to score. Dagger adds the two, and all of a sudden, bingo, it's 12 all. What was the sort of atmosphere like at this time, mate? What happened?
Just starting to worry. The first try that they scored was a good try, good offload and all that thing. But mistakes were creeping in. The atmosphere was flat. I think, obviously these things don't happen deliberately, but both the crowd and the team got to 12-0 and just sort of sat back and thought, well, there we go, this will just be a nice...
Are you drinking?
Just be a nice, easy... No, I was driving.
Okay.
We'll get on to the drinking. We'll get on to the drinking at Hull KR. But but the whole atmosphere went flat and errors, and we were off it. We were just going through the motions, it felt.
I kind of watched that try back. I sort of zoomed in on it a bit. I think he got the ball down. Don't think there was any problem with it. They nearly got to him, but I think, to be fair, that ball was down. No more scores for the next 60 minutes, and we go in at the break all square. I mean, this is Wakefield. This is a team that's just been demoralised. They're getting beaten every week. And all of a sudden, they're in the game. I mean, what's happened? Are we just turned off? Are we dropping balls?
There was a couple of bad errors from Thewlis and Russell, actually. But I think it just goes to show, even though Wakefield is shit, they are still professional rugby players. And if you drop your level just a little bit, you do get found out. I know we're a level or two below the NRL, but it's still professional sport. And if you're not right on it, you can get stung very easy. And suddenly, when they drag you down into a fight like that, it's hard to get going again.
I remember at Warrington Sports Club, one of the girls I used to play a fair bit of tennis with, and she was a very good player. But her brother was the county champion. And he came down one afternoon and we all thought, oh, we get a knock with him. And he wasn't rude, but he basically said, I can't knock with you lads because my standard just goes down. You know, I'm getting nothing from it. If all of a sudden, if I'm just playing with a normal club player, I go away and I'm basically not where I was. And I remember the squash team as well. And this, I mean, going back into like the 80s when Warrington Sports Club won the National League. I mean, you know, I think they had two professionals in the six in the first team, and they were the same. They wouldn't sort of train with the second team boys. I think it was about eight teams at the time, just because it wasn't the high enough standard. So I just wondered if this is what happens to Warrington. You know, we just, as you say, we just turn off. Because all of a sudden we're playing a bit of a bum team and we just can't keep it up somehow.
It's definitely not deliberate. Of course it's not deliberate. You get people shouting. And when I'm not having a drink, you hear it more, don't you? So you hear the bloody hell, you lazy bunch of so-and-sos. And they're not. They're not being deliberately lazy. But if you're not fully switched on, then these type of halves, these type of performances can happen.
Bit like Dennis, really, isn't it? Sort of like Wakefield. Yeah. They just sort of come in and out. You know, they have their moments, but then you sort of look at the screen again and he's faded away again for 10 minutes and we have to kind of bring him round. Okay, 54th minute, Thewlis sees stars yet again. This time it's ex-Gold Coast and Melbourne Storm Kevin Proctor taking his head off. Proctor is red-carded and Ratchford bangs over the penalty. 14-12, and all of a sudden, that's it, isn't it? That's the relief. That's the sort of pressure valve being released. If Wakefield were going to run us in that sort of last 20 minutes, it's suddenly gone.
Yeah, completely. And I've seen the photos of it. It was the right decision, but probably the right decision to be sending off sufficient. Don't think they use that phrase anymore, but that's what they used to say at the disciplinary, didn't they?
I didn't even realise Proctor was playing over in Super League. Is he one we've missed? I mean, he's a nuisance, isn't he?
Yeah, he's about 92, though. Mind you, he'd have gone down well with Ratchford and Matautia. They could have all got a care home together, you know.
See, I'm not like that today, Sam, because it's the evening, I should say. We're recording this on Sunday evening in Sydney. It's just gone 7 o'clock. And normally when I record this, you know, it's sort of 6 a.m. in the morning. I've not had a coffee. I'm on edge. But even the mention of Matautia, then I didn't even rise to the bait. So
no,
it's good, this,
you
isn't
didn't.
It? Have you had a coffee?
I've had a coffee, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Fair enough. 60th minute, and now depleted Wakefield defence is exploited by a looping Williams pass for Ashton with the winger diving over in the corner. Ratchford nails the kick from the touchline, and it's 20-12. And then in the 70th minute, a tired Wakefield team misses two tackles on Williams, and he races away to touchdown under the sticks. Ratchford taps over the two more, 26-12. I mean, it was bound to happen, I guess, once we got the ball where they had 12 men. Yeah. We're just going
and
to run away
and
with
we
it.
Picked up the speed of the ruck as well. We picked up the speed. They were going continually backwards, and did what we should have done. Critical about them being off it a bit, but once they got a sniff, they finished it off there. But then,
yeah, 76th minute, one of the softest tries you'll ever see, and possibly sums up Warrington's performance. A ball is left to bounce before a feeble, pathetic attempt at a tackle by Dufty and Nicholson leads to an offload for Ashurst to stroll over as a lacklustre wire watch on. Dagger makes it 3 from 3, and it's 26-18. I mean, oh. I was embarrassed to show anyone I know here, you know, that watches NRL. If you know, because they constantly say to me, Super League shit, why'd you watch it? I mean, I had to hide that one. If they'd seen that one, my goodness, wouldn't it mean I had to go out for a week?
It was the two errors. It was the letting it bounce, but the ball went straight up in the air. And I can't remember who it was now, but called, waved, let him have it. That's a reasonable decision. Whether it's a right or wrong decision, it's a decision. But once they then take it, whoever opposition takes it, you've got to snot him. But no, we didn't. We tried to just hold him up and expected the referee to call hold, held. And
the only thing I will say on this is, if you watch it back, he's offside. There's about three Wakefield players that have encroached within the 10. He puts it up in the air. There's at least two standing in front of him. And by the time that ball comes down and Wakefield catch it, those two are comfortably within inside the 10. So it should have been actually wiped off. But kind of sums up the afternoon, I guess. 78th minute from the halfway line, Williams feeds Ashton. Ashton uses his speed to scoot around two Wakefield defenders before showing his terrific acceleration to go around Wakefield fullback Dagger to sprint away and score. Ratchford makes it 6 from 6 to leave a final score of Warrington 32, Wakefield 18. To recap, there were two tries for Thulis, two for Ashton, Williams, and then there was kicks, Ratchford 6 from 6. He is some find at the moment, isn't he, Ashton? That, I mean, doesn't matter whether we're playing Wakefield or who it was. That was just sheer speed and knowing where the line was, really.
Yeah, we've spoken about Ashton both on this podcast and with the lads I go to the match with. His improvement over the last 12 months from someone who was, well, actually over the last 2 years, from someone who was fast and exciting, but making errors, to someone who's still fast and still exciting, but maybe 4 or 5 kilograms bigger and stronger around his upper body, and making fewer errors. Great at the minute. And that one, a bit of broken play. Do you know what? I'm going to back myself and go for it. And sent us all home happy after a disjointed performance.
He used to get injured a lot, didn't he? He was kind of fragile. Yeah. He was a bit brittle. Mm. And now he's toughened. That core strength has increased.
Brittle, that's a good word. He doesn't look brittle anymore.
I keep the little one keeps watching the trailer for this, what's it called, Gran Turismo, this new film that's coming out, you know, and it's I don't know if it's a true story or not, but they've got all these kids, you know, playing the PlayStation version. Hmm. And then the winners, all the best ones, then go and drive a proper Formula One car. And of course, they're not used to the G-forces and they've not been in the gym, etc. So, but once they beef them all up, etc., then they all become these, you know, fantastic drivers. It's a bit like that with Ashton. Yeah, the speed was already there, but now all of a sudden he looks big and strong, as you said. So, yeah, he's a find. He's a good find. The HJ was 66.7% full, with an attendance of 10,209. Kids were let in for just £1. Lots of kids in, Sam?
Yes, yeah, all in the West. Not all, mostly in the West Stand. There was a nice feel about the place. It's just a pity it was so disjointed. But those kids who were in for £1 saw the Ashton try at the end and the Williams one 15, 20 minutes.
The shit try. And the 20
minutes.
No, the shit Wakefield try. And also the 20 minutes before half time where you were all booing and swearing.
I'm glass half full this year.
Talk to me about Wakefield. Any chance? Have they got any chance? Based on what you saw, are they doomed?
Yes, doomed.
They've now bought Luke Gale though, because he didn't play, did he?
No.
But
no.
You know.
And he didn't play this weekend either, I don't think. In the latest game. But if we just break the time frame continuum.
Warning, you have broken the time frame continuum. Warning, you have broken the time frame continuum.
I thought this week they were playing Hull at home, and I thought that was a big one. If they're going to win, they need to win then, and they didn't. I suppose their only hope is Castleford, isn't it?
That's why I went for a big prediction, because I looked at the fixtures and thought, oh, hang on, Wakefield are playing Hull the following week. Maybe they'll put the kids out against us. Mm. You know, wrap everyone up in cotton wool and just put all their eggs in one basket. But didn't happen, did it? Didn't happen. So,
no.
Tanganawa, did you keep an eye on him? You know,
Is he
coming our way, do you think?
Well, all we keep hearing is that we are big admirers of him. So by big admirers, I don't know whether that's the hierarchy at the club or whether that's Daryl or what.
And what
if
is
he was
he?
In a, if
what
he, well,
he?
He's a second row, he's certainly explosive.
He's big.
He was in a, yeah, well, no, he's not. He's not actually huge, but he's
right.
Powerful and explosive. If he was in our squad this year.
Yeah. Happy days.
Happy days. If he was in our squad from last year, without the size of the props, I'm not quite sure. You know, if that's I think he might be that sort of add-on, that X Factor type player, rather than an 80-minute workhorse.
Okay, I thought Daryl Powell summed it up very well. He said, "Give credit to Wakefield; they worked really hard to get back in the game after we started how we wanted to. We went 12-0 up, then clocked off mentally and defensively. We started making errors and let them back in. The red card was a big deciding factor in the game. It gave us the numerical advantage. It was important we got back on track, and we did that without being as good as we wanted to be. We want to be ruthless, and at the moment, we aren't. We won't be winning next week playing like that. That's for certain." Sometimes, you know, when we used to talk about Mr. Price, and he'd give his, you know, he'd give these post interviews and you'd be like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, you know, about you, I would say about 20-30% about what he actually said was he just contradicted himself and it made no sense whatsoever. But to give credit to Powell, does that kind of sum it up? Was that about where we were at?
Yeah, you can't add much more to that, can you? We'd started well, we clocked off, we let them back into it, we made too many errors, and as you said 5 minutes ago, the red card was a turning point.
It's all there. You know. Summarised very well. Looking at the stats, we broke them down. There's been a few sort of disgruntled remarks about Maguire, but he topped the tackle count with 33. Walker got 32. Nicholson, 31. Vaughan, 28. Philbin, 27. Curry, 25. Bullock, 23. Harrison, 22. And Cassiano, 22. All our forwards out-tackled any of our backs in the game. But in terms of carries, you know, Williams is right out there again on top with 21.
Yes.
Russell and Ashton both doing the work, 17 and 16. And then Bullock and Philbin with 12 carries apiece. Drinkwater only carried the ball 4 times and Maguire only carried the ball 7. In metres, Ashton did 202, Williams 171, Thulis 138 and Russell 127. Our biggest leading prop in terms of metres was Bullock, 117, followed by Warren, standard century, on 104. Maguire only did 40 metres. Nicholson was pretty low as well on 61. And Harrison only got 62. I don't know what to make of that, really, Sam. Does that give any story away at all, or just sort
of? I think it's the same theme running all the way through this performance. There was good bits, bad bits, good bits, bad bits. There was no consistent period of very good play. And, I mean, Ashton, obviously brilliant, tops of metres, with helped by that long-range try. But really, I just want to pick out Williams week after week after week after week. He runs the ball in and he's looking to take on the line. And week after week, he's putting up over 150 metres a game.
Yeah.
Matty Russell as well. I know he's a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
And he always has been. But that one trick he does consistently well.
We did talk a little bit about him dropping balls and when was it going to start happening. And I think it happened in this game and it happened against Hull KR, didn't it? I think we've had a couple of shockers in the last couple of weeks.
We have. But not just him. Errors have started creeping in.
I would love to see meters put together on based on also the parameters of what you give away. I would love to see when Russell drops the ball and it's a knock on, you know, all the meters you then lose in that next set of six almost should be taken away from the meters you've actually gained. It would just be nice to see who's squeaky clean and who's, you know, all right, I made 200 metres, but I dropped the ball three times.
I often think that in football, that a similar thing, if a defender makes a mistake and it leads to a goal, they're all like, oh, God, he's a shit defender, so on and so on. But if a striker misses five chances and puts a sixth one in the goal, he goes off celebrating, saying, look at me, I'm wonderful. You think, if you'd have put three of those previous five chances in, the team won't be in trouble.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit like the way sort of Dennis operates, isn't it? Because he does. You know, he brings the podcast together, I would say probably one in every six. But his other five performances on the podcast are absolutely shithouse.
Just remind me.
I fucking know. No idea.
Oh, yes, the guy who didn't turn up, yeah.
Yeah, that's him. Now, at the start of the season, we did talk about our centres in Metautier and Ratchford. Yes. And there was a bit of a question mark in terms of, well, if they don't score many tries, then hopefully they'll make quite a few try assists. So we've run a little sort of diagnosis here in terms of comparing them to our two centres from last year, who were both playing over at the Pie-Eating Bastards in Wardle and King. This is the stats. Clean breaks, Wardle on 5, King on 4, Metautier on 2 and Ratchford on 2. Try assists, Wardle on 5, King on 4, Metautier on 3 and Ratchford on 2. And tries, Wardle 4, King 3, Metautier 2 and Ratchford 1. Now, so start by saying that got quite a bit of abuse on Twitter. There's certain Warrington fans out there who don't like stats. All we're doing is putting a stat online for perhaps the more highbrow Warrington to look at and go, oh, that's interesting. But, you know, some of the remarks, fucking top of the league, clap, 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 clap. But yeah, great, we're top of the league. It's just a statistic. We're just showing where we're at in comparison. Now, to sort of back that up, we should look at Ratchford's kicking. Out of the 12 games that Ratchford has kicked in comparison to all the opposing kickers, Ratchford hasn't been outkicked by one kicker. The only kicker that matched him was Clifford at Hull. And let's be fair, Clifford only had one attempt at kick and he kicked it for 100%. But Ratchford, and look, I might be out by one or two here. I've tried to keep on top of it all the way through. But I've got him down as kicking 49 from 62 with a 79% success rate. That's penalties and conversions. In comparison, all the other kickers, if you bring them all together, they're running at 65%. So he's 14% up, Sam. Does that make up for what we're seeing there in those stats? I mean, I was surprised by that. I could have sworn Ratchford has had more than two try assists. But and we are going off the DOS-based Betfred Super League website that is only online every 3 days when the cleaner forgets to plug it in. Yeah, so I don't know.
I'm keeping my own track as well, and it is correct. He's got. We'll come on to the next game in a moment, but he's improved slightly.
All right.
What I seem to be seeing, particularly from Ratchford, I think it's a bit more difficult to compare Matautia because he's been moving around a little. He's been playing in the second row a bit and at loose forward a bit. Mm. But Ratchford, I'm seeing consistency, but I'm seeing mainly safety first stuff, particularly in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
What, when he's got the ball or when he's not got
the ball? Yeah, when he's got the ball. Right. When he's got the ball. I'm seeing him not necessarily drawing a man, but stepping back inside, taking two men down in the tackle and trying to get up and play the ball quickly, which then gives us some momentum.
Yeah.
What I'm not seeing yet, but what I'm not seeing across the team, is consistently when we are in the opposition's 20 metres of moving the ball across the field and creating an overlap.
Well, this
now,
brings
funny
me
enough,
on.
We have done that this week.
Yeah.
And did it well, but we're not doing it consistently, I don't feel. Go on.
Well, this brings me on to Alan London, who celebrated his 107th birthday this week. So happy birthday, Dad. He reckons our two centres are too slow. He's adamant our two centres are too slow. They don't get the ball out quick enough to the wingers. You know, they don't come onto the ball at pace and then throw the ball to the wing. He just blatantly thinks that, you know, he's not. This is my. I don't think we can carry both of them. I think there's room to carry one and not two. And clearly, based on that stat of kicking, you can guess who it's going to be.
Haven't we said that right from day one? I don't think we've not got a problem with either player individually, but both of them together look a bit slow at centre.
I think I said at the start of the season last year, I was screaming, jumping up and down about the lack of props and size. This year, I think it's the centres that's the problem. I just don't think we can. Ultimately, this season is going to come down to two games. We're going to get to a semi-final. We're going to play 80 minutes in a semi-final, and then we're going to hopefully play 80 minutes at Old Trafford. And I'm not sure with those two centres, we have got the quality over 160 minutes to win two games at the top level. When you've got, you know, probably the likes of the big unit at St Helens coming onto the ball, or you've got King and Wardle running onto balls at Wigan if they get to the final. It's going to be between about three teams that we play in the final. It'd be Catalans, Saints or Wigan, you would think. And I'm just not sure we're good enough in the centres. Matautia has been caught out on numerous occasions this year. They've gone round him. He's too slow and they've gone round him. They haven't gone round Ratchford because Ratchford comes running out of the line. It's almost like, I'll run out of the line because I don't want to be exposed for pace here. And then so they score the try in a different manner than the way they're scoring them against Matautia. But ultimately, the tries are coming from the same reasons, and that is because they're both too slow.
But also I think our left-hand side looks a stronger edge with Williams, Curry, Ratchford, Ashton.
Yeah.
And our right-hand side has been pulled around a lot. Nicholson's been in and out because of injury. Matautia has sometimes gone into the pack. Minikin's sometimes played there. Yeah. Russell and Thewlis have sometimes played. I don't think our right-hand side looks anywhere near as strong overall.
I'm surprised. You know, when I spoke to Daryl a few weeks ago and I said, you know, why don't you put Thewlis in the centre position? And he responded with, oh, we've not actually spoken about that. Can't believe that they haven't had that chat. Because I think, ultimately, if you can't fit Thewlis in the team because you've got Russell and Ashton on the wing, and if Rensch isn't quite right, is he not a better... Is he not, you know, give him... It might not be the best centre now, but I would have thought you could end up with your two centres at Warrington being Thewlis and Rensch.
It doesn't jump out at me as being a solution, particularly when he clearly rates Matautia. Matautia clearly brings something to his squad. Otherwise, he wouldn't have brought him over from Castleford, and he wouldn't be, you know, and he clearly one of Darrell's leaders. But then, I don't feel that Russell is quite, Thewlis has not quite pinned down his spot elsewhere in the team. So would you just be moving him for moving's sake? I don't
know. If you look at that first try against Wakefield, when he weaves in out four players and then dies over the line, is Peter Metautier doing that? No.
I
don't see what Peter Metautier. I know we keep saying about this. Oh, he brings, you know, camaraderie to the team. You know,
yeah, I don't know what he brings.
I don't know.
I say what he brings. He brings some reasonable performances. But if we're looking at a team that wants to be the best, I don't see whether he brings enough.
There was, I won't say who actually said this, but one of the panel members wrote a little message this morning about Ratchford's kicking. And he said, it's a shame we cannot have like NFL, where the kicker comes on just to take the field goals. Then we could have a decent centre. Bit scathing. I actually wrote back and said, what speciality position has Peter Metautier got? And he wrote back, he said, to be fair, we're on top of the league with him on the pitch doing fuck all, so why rock the boat? So maybe that kind of sums it up. Okay, on to round 11 results, with the entire round completed on the Friday night. Hull 14, Wigan 10. You just excuse me a second, Sam, just a sec. Catalans 24, Saints 12, Hull KR 28, Huddersfield 0, Leeds 12, Salford 22, and Leeds 30, Castleford 6. Wigan's lost, but Warrington back on top of the table. What do we make of those? I mean, Salford are pretty strong. Salford are nailing another win away at Leeds.
I'm really, really disappointed that the other bloke that we used to know isn't here tonight.
Yeah, because... Very well.
Oh, that's him, yes. Yeah, I'm glad. Well done, reminding me. Yeah. Huddersfield are really shit at the minute. And I'm sure, actually, and I must pull you up as well. 2 years ago, you were telling us that Ian Watson was the bee's knees. He was the best. Sam, he's the one we should have had.
Are you breaking up there, Sam? You're going. Can't hear you. What's happened to Huddersfield?
They shit.
How old's Chris Hill now? He's about 41. Is he still going out every week?
No, he's 40. Celebrated his 41st birthday next week.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Well, on to News Round, and the draw for the last 16 teams in the Challenge Cup has been made. We'll come on to Catalans versus Wyatt in the predictions, but the rest of the games are Salford Huddersfield, York versus London, Halifax Saints, Hull KR Batley, Wakefield Lee, and then the two BBC games, Leeds versus Wigan and Castleford versus Dull. I mean, mentioning no names, but someone at the BBC did write to me saying he couldn't believe that Castleford versus Hull had been picked and that no one cares anymore there, really. No one cares. I mean, surely, if you want to sex up the competition, you've got every opportunity. I mean, you know, watch Eurovision last night. You know, there's all the colour and the razzmatazz and, you know, millions around the world watching it. Get some BBC cameras over to Catalans. You know, make it a couple of hours. I mean, it can't be that much to put seven or eight people on a plane and, you know, outsource everything else to a few camera people over there. What's the point of Castleford versus Dull?
I know. And even if you don't send people over there and Dave Woods does it from his kitchen.
Yeah. And he could cook like a cock of van or something, couldn't he? Like, he could spice it up. Something in the background. Eh? Coupe Chantilly or something for dessert. It'd be fine. Yeah. But... Happy days. York are playing London, which means there is a championship side in the last eight. So there's a bit of an incentive for someone. But nevertheless, BBC, anyone who lives sort of essentially sort of 50 miles south of the M62 is going to turn on their TV to watch a drab, stereotypical, flat-cap Northern game at Castleford, aren't they?
They are. And we'll enjoy it, but it's not the point, is it?
No. Ex-bungalow resident Thomas McKayley made his debut for the Gold Coast Titans in round 8 of the NRL. McKayley managed game time of just 12 minutes. He has since been dropped, playing rounds 9, 10 and 11 in reserve grade. I think we can add another round onto that now. He didn't play today. I mean, he had a lovely swimming pool. There was a nice Instagram picture went up and, you know, there it was, all crystal clear and beautiful. But as a career, is that what you want to do? Like, is that, you know, essentially, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
As a career, it's playing in the championship, and albeit your championship is a good competition, but you're playing championship rugby, aren't you? But you're probably getting paid the same.
He's outsourced to a feeder team. Like, they don't sort. It's not. Yeah. He's not playing for the Gold Coast Titan A's.
No, I know the feeder teams are playing the Brisbane Cup or whatever.
You know, but they're not like on the coast. They're all like, you know, inland. You know, I mean, Jesus, it's not. He won't be playing the razzmatazz of the Gold Coast. He'd be 150 kilometres inland on a yellow pitch, rock hard. I don't know. I don't get it. But it does just go to show, you know, if you don't pull your weight in the NRL, that's it. You know, you're off to reserve grade.
And it's maybe not even pulling your weight, Robbie. I mean, that implies not trying, perhaps. But if you're not up to the level, there's plenty of other people who can come in and replace you.
What did he do wrong in 12 minutes? I watched it. He seemed to take the ball up all right. It was clearly something's not right. Maybe it was in training, I don't know. Moving on to the international game, the England men's team secured a resounding victory over France at the HJ with a score of 64-0. The match featured 6 wire players, including regulars George Williams and Ben Curry, as well as debuts for Danny Walker, James Harrison and the two Matties, Nicholson and Ashton. The poorly advertised game drew a paltry crowd of just 8,422 spectators. In stark contrast, the England Women's Rugby Union team played a thrilling and highly competitive match against France at Twickenham on the same afternoon. Thanks to effective promotion, the game attracted an incredible 58,498 fans, a record-breaking gate that exceeded the Rugby League's attendance by a staggering 50,076 spectators. Did you even watch it? Did you?
No.
You didn't put it on? Didn't watch the highlights? Or?
I watched the highlights, yes. I did watch the highlights. This is, for me, tied in with your BBC thing earlier. Now, people quite rightly think, well, shouldn't the BBC be doing a bit more? And I think they should. But on the opposite side, we should be doing a bit more as well in rugby league.
Right.
Yes. And the two things go hand in hand, don't they? Two things. If we're not going to promote it properly, if we're not going to get people like me, I'm one of the culprits because I live...
Because you're a twat.
I live 3 miles from that stadium, so I could have gone that Saturday afternoon.
But it was too. That was too far, wasn't it? Well, they always said that. Someone said to me once about, I met two Irish people when I was backpacking. And I said, I've never been to Ireland. And they said to me, yeah, I never understand it when it's only, you know, £30 from Liverpool. I said, yeah, I think that's what's putting me off. I mean, if you'd offered me either of these games, if Mr. and Mrs. London comes over with me to the UK and we're offered tickets for the HJ or we're offered tickets, you know, down in London
for Twickenham.
Yeah. I'm going to Twickenham. Like, we're bourgeois lefties. That's what we do these days. It's just... And then we'd have a nice meal out in London afterwards and, you know, probably take in a show. Just what you're going to do, isn't it? But you can't take the game down to... Well, maybe you can take the game down to London.
No, but even so, I feel, and I don't think this is this is a slight at Warrington, because when international games, the Samoa-Tonga game I went to at the HJ, really enjoyed it, and it was more or less sold out. But if we can't put 12 to 13 to 14,000 people in that stadium for England versus France, it doesn't then come across well on the TV, so you don't sell it, so there's no buzz. So anyone who's just flicking on that afternoon will flick onto that, and then they'll flick over and they'll see nearly 60,000 fans in a close game at Twickenham, and they're going to stick on that channel.
Flying winger Matty Ashton and in-form hooker Danny Walker have both extended their contracts at Warrington until the end of 2026. Ashton, since moving from Swindon, Tawaya has scored 35 tries in 55 games. I think I need to
change
that.
You're right about Swinton, not Swindon.
Oh, yeah, I've written Swindon. It's The Office. Walker, since joining Warrington from Widnes, has made 79 appearances. I think that's wrong because I wrote this last week, so that should now be 80 appearances. And I think Ashton got... How many tries did he get against Hull KR? One? So he's now on 56. Two great signings. Can't argue with that. Presume they're both on more money. As we sort of, you know, we sort of
and twist. Walker looked like he's number one hooker this season, which has perhaps prompted some of the movements for next season.
I didn't think anyone could put more passion and aggression into that bin in the dressing room, the deck pattern. But I think I'd have to. What we'll have to do? We'll have to do two little video clips and maybe put a vote out there. Who's the better? Who's the better drummer?
Who's Patton the best drummer?
Patton or Walker? It's very close. Rumours of Daryl Clark's departure next season to Saints continue, with Wire players such as Ben Curry and Peter Metautier now also free to talk to other clubs following the 1st of May watershed. But it too means Warrington can now enter into discussions with players coming off contract that they may wish to attract. And it seems Wire have made their first signing, with Brad Dwyer returning to the Halliwell Jones in 2024.
Yes, yeah, you stole my thunder here when you texted me the other night and said, I hear Brad Dwyer might be coming back. Well, I heard that before the game on Friday from two different people.
Right.
And one of which is someone I would trust with this type of information.
Carl Fitzpatrick?
No, not Carl.
Okay.
Don't speak to me anymore. because of my association with you. but also I believe, and I haven't double checked, which is bad on my side, but I believe because he was previously a club trained player, we get a dispensation on the salary cap for him.
Oh, right. And a good signing. I mean, he stood out at Hull. He stood out at Leeds. Like, he seems to be the one that keeps going.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you've got Danny Walker on the pitch and you're like, oh, Christ, thanks God he's gone off, and then Brad Dwyer comes on, you're like, oh, shit, more of the same.
A similar style of player, yes. Similar style of player.
I heard today that the deal isn't done with Mr. Clark to Saints.
Oh. Now, that's interesting.
Maybe Cruz Leeming might be on his way to Saints.
To Saints.
Because he was, you know, being poached by Catalans. I'm just told it's not a done deal yet. I don't think he's going to end up at Warrington, but...
Leeming is the interesting one, isn't he? He's the one that's currently out sunning himself a few hundred miles north of you. But it's only temporary, isn't it?
Yeah, he was on the bench today. I don't know if he's been starting. The article I read said he was getting regular first-team footy, but... I did notice he was number 14 today.
Yeah, he has been on the bench the previous two times I've noticed him.
I've got no problem whatsoever letting Daryl Clark go. I expect we've been paying him an astronomical amount of money, and we can't continue to pay him on that kind of salary. And he's got one too many injuries for my liking. He might have a brilliant year at Saints, but I think we can spend the money more wisely.
I think. That's right. I'd love to keep him, but you'd have to keep him on lower money. And if you're keeping him on lower money, he's going to look around elsewhere. And if he does move, then we've had 10 good years, full commitment from him, Can't argue with anything. It'd be a shake hands, good luck, thank you very much. It'd be a...
I mean, Dennis mentioned it the other week. He hasn't really been on the top of his game for about 12 months, really, has he? So, you know, we're not talking about the Darryl Clark of Wembley in, you know, 2017 or whatever it was. It's a patched up Darryl Clark.
It is, but we'll just come back to Darryl Clark in a few minutes if we can from Friday.
Two other guys now open to talk to other people. I mean, Peter Metautier, he's not going to re-sign, is he? That's it, he's gone. But Ben Curry, your pin-up boy, you know, you were sending me messages. Again, I'm going to break the time frame continuing, but when he scored against Hull KR, I mean, it's instant,
going back
isn't
up.
It? It's instant. The minute he scored, I expect the WhatsApp message to come through, and it's there. It's like the sun coming up in the morning, Sam. It really is. But again, another chap who's on big money.
Yes. Yeah. And it's another balancing act, isn't it? I think what this shows, the type of discussion we're having now is possibly as a result of signing Toby King on far too much for far too long. It shows what a problem you give yourself if you don't stick to, I wouldn't say your wage structure, but if you don't get the balance right within your squad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you have to be brave enough to say to a player, we'd love you to stay, but we can only pay you, let's just pull a number out of the air, 120,000 when last year you were on 150. We'd love you to stay, but you'll be on 120. Yeah. If you don't want to stay, go and have a look round, but make a decision for us in the next 2 or 3 weeks, will you? So we know where we are.
I mean, two things. I mean, you know, King's price was inflated off the fact that we were playing five drives and a kick to Toby King. So, you know, he looked the part, didn't he?
He did.
And also, you know, if you watch Britain's Got Talent, what's, you know, the guy from Strictly, Bruno, whatever his name is, you know, like he's taken over from Williams because Williams called someone a cunt and they've had to get rid of him, haven't they? They're paying him £850,000 for one season.
Bloody hell.
Why would you... I mean, that's worse than Toby King. I mean, they could have offered him £40,000, I'm sure he'd have taken it. I don't quite understand how you get to that magnitude where you're worth that much when there's another million people out there that can do it. Tanganawa, we spoke about Tanganawa. Are you willing to swap Curry for Tanganawa? Let's work on the assumption they're both being paid the same. Whatever they offer them, it's the same money, and it's a 2 year contract. I don't know how old Tanganawa is. I don't think he's
a bit younger.
Is he?
I'm sure he is. But based on what I know, I've not watched Tanganawa enough. Based on what I know, I'll probably stick with 80 minutes a game.
Is that just because you don't want to take your poster down and put a new one up? It's too much like hard work.
Well, it's made some marks on the wall. I'd have to paint. Become a big job then.
Okay, got you. Well, we'll wait and see what happens. And finally, Wire have released a limited edition third kit. The design is not too dissimilar to the Greenalls jersey that attired Wilderspool back in 1992. The top will be worn at the Magic Weekend against Hull and also at the Halliwell Jones on July 7th when Wire play Saints in the retro-themed round. What do you make of that, Sam? I should just say to the listeners, we've got a little picture here of Peter Sutcliffe wearing the top.
Yeah, I was just not going to mention him.
I think it suits him. I think it looks very nice on him. I have a funny feeling that's the last top I bought. I had a Vladivar top. I never had a Spartamatic. I think I only ever had two tops, and that was the second one I had. I think I went to watch. I have a funny feeling Kevin Ellis played in this top. Was he about 92? Earlier.
He was certainly there in 94, whether he was there in 92, but you might be right.
I went to the Boulevard to watch Warrington versus Hull, and I think Warrington won, and the lad I was with ran onto the pitch at the end in that top, and said to Kevin Ellis, "Would you?" He just finished playing rugby 80 minutes, and he said to Kevin Ellis, "Would you mind signing me top, please, Kevin?" And Kevin went, "Yes, no problem." And then my mate went, "Have you got a pen?" Right, on to the Hull KR game. The team was Foulis, continued at one, Russell, Metautier, Ratchford, Ashton, Williams, Drinkwater. The forwards were Bullock, Walker, Vaughan, Curry, Maguire, and Harrison went in at 13. Interchange bench was Dufty, Clark, Cassiano, and Philbin. Matty Nicholson was not in the team due to the fact he's out for 10 weeks with a ruptured tendon in his finger. Hull KR were also without fullback Lachlan Coote, who was suffering from arthritis, and halfbacks Rowan Miles and Jordan Abdul.
Parcell offloads, moves it through. Oh, what a ball! What a ball from Batchelor! On the end of it is Ethan Ryan, and Rovers get the first points. Long ball across the line, finds Mikey Lewis, a lovely pass to him, a great line run from Cain Lynette, and Hull KR extend their lead against the leaders. The kick goes through, it's a bit of a mess, and Warrington have got there first. Josh Maguire, the man to touch down. Along the line, Drinkwater, space out wide for Warrington, what a dummy there, and Ben Curry strolls through, the defence just opened up for him. And this one for Ratchford to put Warrington ahead, and that puts them 2 points in front, the first time they've had the lead this evening. On the Rovers whitewash, there's Clark, a little bit of a show to the line, and it's out and away and long to Williams. Williams has got support, out from Dufty, nice hands, Ashton in the corner. As the ball goes back for a drop goal attempt from Williams, the reaction of the fans tell you it's good, and that will keep Warrington at the top of Super League.
Final score, Warrington 21, Hull KR 14. Now, the first to the 20th minute sees Hull KR running two converted tries to leave a score of 12-0. I got a bit confused at the time. I mean, it was a bit early for me in Sydney, but I was still working on that you were 9 hours behind. No, you were 11 hours behind, but you're actually nine. So I kind of woke up to get the lad ready for football. And we were down 12-0. I mean, I was fast asleep. Were Warrington fast asleep as well?
Oh, God. When we run through this, I want to look at both Wakefield and Hull KR as a group of games.
Yep.
But just in isolation, this first 20 minutes, we looked fast asleep. We looked lethargic. We looked like kickoff hadn't even come. We dropped the ball at one stage and we were walking slowly to the scrum. There was no urgency. No urgency at all. And this is a team that are just behind us on the table on a great run of form.
What are they like before they kick off? Because I remember John Clark used to get them really riled up. Like, yes. he was animated. We got that same sort of feel before kickoff now? Like, is it all a bit lackadaisical?
No, it didn't strike me like that at all. We kicked off and the first set that we defended, we tackled, we put some oomph into it. But from the moment we took our first possession, took the ball, we just looked a little bit as if we were going through the motions. You know, there was no spark of energy at all, not from any player.
Well, maybe there was a spark of energy because in the 24th minute, I'm told Maguire makes a try-saving tackle.
Yes, that was a turning point, in my opinion. We're 12-0 down. We're looking in trouble. And one of their players, maybe from 7 or 8 metres out, looks like he's going to break through and go under the sticks. And he's pulled down a metre short of the line. From the subsequent play of the ball, they kick out wide and Matty Ashton takes a great kick, a great high ball in our own area as well, which he could easily have dropped and they'd have pounced on. And if they'd have scored under the post, they go 18-0. And if they'd scored out wide, they're a minimum of 16-0 and the game's gone.
34th minute, and then 10 minutes later, Maguire scores his first try for the club following the grubber kick through by Danny Walker. Hull KR make a mess of it and Maguire is there to touch down. Ratchford adds the two. And that's the half-time score. Warrington 6, Hull KR 12. So like you said, Sam, instead of 18-0, we're trying to kick away.
But also at about the same time, Matt Duffy was introduced.
Right.
And he was like an alarm clock going off.
With his broken thumb.
He took the ball, he ran with broken. He ran at people, he lifted the crowd. Mm. So we have those two things together. Some excellent defensive scramble.
Yeah.
To stop us going further behind. Yeah. And a bit of an injection of pace. Yeah. And then to score a try. The whole thing changed around in that 10 minutes. The whole thing.
We are the generation that uses our finger, Sam. If we, you know, type or we ring a doorbell, we use our finger. Mm-hmm. But my daughter's generation, and I presume Dufty's generation, they use their thumb. They ring doorbells with their thumb because they text
texting,
with their thumbs.
Is it? Yeah.
And
yeah.
Dennis, with his nose. That's what he uses. So, be nice. Right, 46 minute, Wire shift the ball, right to left. Ben Curry shows and goes. Oh, here we go. Shows and goes to score close to the sticks. Ratchford kicks the conversion to put Wire all square at 12 all. So basically, you went over to the wall with your little duster, polished it off again, didn't you? Put it straight, sent a text to me.
Oh, yeah. Ben Curry scored.
Oh, I've not had a coffee when I see that. It's demoralising for me. Good try, though. Good try. Did the right thing. Yeah. Summed it up well.
Yeah.
Showed a bit of turn of speed and off he went.
And it was not just Curry, but Curry, Ratchford, Ashton maybe produced about four moments like that in the second half that ended up with two tries. So it was promising.
Made a difference. 55th minute, and Mikey Lewis penalty edges Hull KR back in front. 14-12. And then on the 60th minute, Ratchford returns the favour with a penalty to make it 14-all. 66th minute, a valuable miss by Mikey Lewis as he fails with a penalty with the ball hitting the post. And then on the 69th minute, Ratchford slots over his second penalty of the night to put Wire ahead for the first time 16-14. So we've had a mirror image there over basically 15 minutes. And there's Ratchford's kick again. We've spoken about it before. He makes the difference.
Correct. And not only that, it was a real interesting 15 minutes, particularly for Ratchford. Ratchford and Maguire were both getting niggly. And Ratchford in particular, he was throwing his arms up in the air, he was complaining, he was shouting, he was gesticulating, mostly in a positive way. And I've not seen him that wound up for a long time.
Right.
I've not seen him that wound up for a long time. So much so that I think it was after we've gone 16-14 ahead.
Yeah.
Drinkwater puts in his first actual dangerous little attacking kick of the night because he was another one playing in an armchair. They take the ball, we put him out into touch and we win back possession. Well, it's on the opposite side from where Ratchford is. He jumps up as if someone scored the winning goal at a cup final. He goes running across the pitch with his arms in the air, high-fives everyone, gives the defenders big hugs and raps and yes, 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 come on.
Oh.
And I've not seen that sort of display from him for ages. So whatever had been going on...
Was it our tweet at half-time where we said that Ratchford's body language was poor after Hull KR scored? He wasn't, he wasn't riling his troops at all. Was that what...
I never thought about that.
Do you think Daryl showed him that? I said, look, those fucking idiots over at What Would Brian Bevan podcast put them right. Well, so
actually, I hadn't thought about you tweeting at halftime. Clearly, he's not read it at halftime. But actually, yes. But yeah, it was so noticeable how he was getting into the players, and he was getting into the Hull KR players, and they were getting into him. It was quite niggly.
72nd minute, Warrington again move the ball right to left. This time the passes make their way all the way to Ashton's wing for him to dive over in the corner. Kick is missed by Ratchford, and it's 20-14. And then on the 75th minute, the icing on the cake with George Williams putting Wyatt 7 points up with a drop goal. Final score, Warrington 21, Hull KR 14. To recap, there were tries for Maguire, Curry and Ashton. Conversions, Ratchford 2 from 3. And 2 penalties, 2 from 2, and drop goal from Williams. The HJ was 66.5% full, with an attendance of 10,179. So we're about, 30, just over 30 off what we were against Wakefield.
Yeah, no kids for a quid, though.
So there was only 30 kids there at the Wakefield game, basically. That was the difference. I'm going to read a few of the listeners' tweets out, because I always forget to, and I thought I'll just run through a few of their conclusions on the game. Colin Rushton wrote, thought Dufty was superb when he came on. Maguire played very well also. Pretty much just what you've said, Sam. Anton Johnston, atmosphere was flat and it reflected the performance, but you know what? It's a win, and our sport is all about being in the position to deliver at the business end of the season, which kind of goes to where I'm saying that we have to basically play 160 minutes of footy this year. Rossi G, Philby, Maguire and Ratchford played very decent. Dufty needs to start, and Thulis back on the wing next week. Wrench in for the invisible man, Peter Metautier. I mean, what do you do with Thulis, Sam? I mean, he doesn't warrant a wing spot, does he, with Russell and
Ashton? He will. I think he will do, because Russell took a big knock. I didn't see the actual knock. I just saw him crumpled on the ground after the ball came back off the post. So Thewlis will play.
That's my wing as well. That's my wing. So probably I'm out as well. Actually, I'm still out till August, so I'm not even on the field. Ashton scored a few tries. Of course, that is Dennis's wing. I think we're both in agreement. Fuck all chance of him scoring any of them.
He wouldn't have been there. He wouldn't have turned up for the match.
Yeah, exactly. Dan Murphy's written, Dufty changed the game, in my opinion. His speed and attack and security at fullback. Now you don't have Dan Murphy in the UK, do you? Dan Murphy's the biggest sort of bottle shop, or what you'd call off licence, in Australia. Interesting. Adam John Berry, Joe Philbin exceptional tonight. My dad said he ran.
He was hard in the second half. In the second half, he looked like some of the runs was similar to what he used to.
AJ Russell, 69. Bar the first 20 minutes, thought we dominated. Second half was so one-sided.
Second half was. I wouldn't say the second 20 was that dominant.
Okay. Dave Munro, he's an old fan of the podcast. Hello, Dave. Hope you're well. Turned up in the last 15, thankfully. Mark Gartland, game of two halves. Why a Bible? Well, if anyone was questioning him, Maguire stood up today. Riled up their lot and got into them. Completely changed the game. I did notice him, I think when we scored one of our tries, he was trying to start a fight after we'd scored. Chris Healy, Clark changed the game. Huge loss next season. Now, you mentioned this before, Sam, so tell me about Clark.
Yeah, so in not quite the same dramatic effect, but in a similar way to how I said Dufty came on and gave us a lift, Clark came on and gave us a noticeable lift for the first 5 or 10 minutes, running very direct. Yeah. He was running direct from dummy half, and we got on a bit of a roll. Quick play the ball, next man up, play the ball, next man up, play the ball. And so, yes, he was very direct, and it was noticeable.
Mr. Alan London told me he dropped a ball and also threw a wayward pass backwards.
He possibly did throw a wayward pass. I'm just seeing whether he's got an error.
I think we didn't drop the ball. We picked it up.
Statistically, he didn't drop. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Noxie Wire, Joe Philbin and Walker outstanding. Drinkwater, very silent. Spoke to the lads over at the Hull KR podcast, because I said, what is this with Drinkwater? And they sort of said, well, did the same for us. Like, you know, on fire early on and then disappeared. I don't know what he was like at Catalans, but is this just the theme with Drinkwater? That I don't get it. He seemed to be playing really well, kicking really well early on in the season.
I think he's clearly got the ability we need to organise and to kick. I just feel I'm just a little worried that if Williams is struggling a bit or the team is struggling a bit, you want your other half to step up occasionally and just occasionally run the ball and occasionally threaten the line.
Yeah, doesn't do it.
And I don't want him to do much. I just want him to do it a little bit more so that there's clearly two threats.
Would you swap him for Morgan Smith? Swap him for Morgan Smith?
No.
Busier? No? Okay. All right. No. And the final one goes to Sam Webster. He's written, "You're shite. Anyone full strength beats you." Well, he's actually spelt "you're" incorrectly. He's not put an apostrophe in there. So you're a fucking dickhead, Sam Webster. So you can... Right, as for the stats again, Walker led the way with 36 tackles. Harrison was up there on 32. Vaughan, 26. Maguire, 26. Carries again. Williams led with 28. But Philbin ran up the ball 19 times and Vaughan 18 times. Top metres were Williams on 151. But then it was dominated by three forwards. Philbin, 135. Vaughan, 114. And Cassiano, 88. Bottom of the table, Foulis only carried the ball four times, but I don't think he was on for that long, Sam. Duffy only made one tackle, which probably shows that our defence was good. But Matautia only made 22 metres. So not much going on there. Round 12 results. Wakefield 6, Hull 26. Huddersfield 4, Leith 30. Castleford 22, Catalans 46. Wigan 18, Leeds 40. You just excuse me for a sec, Sam. St Helens 26, Salford 12. So it leaves the table like this. Warrington are out in front by 4 points. Mind the gap on 20 points, followed by Wigan on 16, Hull KR on 16, and Catalans on 16. Lee then in fifth on 14, Salford in sixth on 14, Saints down in seventh on 12. Saints are going to come good, aren't they, Sam? Like they're going to creep up over the second half of the season, you'd think.
Yeah, you would expect so. I didn't watch their game yesterday, but I did notice that Salford started really well. They were 12 points up, and then suddenly, in the second half, Saints came out.
They threw a shocker of a pass on their own line. They were up, I think they were 12-6 up or something, and they were pressured on their own line, and they threw a ball along the line, and Lomax got it and scored, and that seemed to sort of...
They opened the door, and Saints kicked it in, type of thing.
But at the are we looking like we're going to be league leaders? Like, are we going to win the Shield at this rate? I mean, we've gone round once and a bit. I think our repeat fixtures are pretty good, aren't they, this year? Like, the way they fall.
Yeah. It's clearly about consistency, because when we played Wigan down here, I thought Wigan, and I still... of the 12 games we've played, Wigan were the best team defensively that we've been against.
Yeah.
They suffocated us, they dominated us, they bullied us.
Yeah.
But they're clearly not consistent, because 12 men of Leeds put them to the sword in the second half.
Well, they've got Toby King playing centre.
Yeah. Same with Hull KR. They produced some good stuff against us the other night, but not across the piece. Catalans look strong, and they've had a lot of injuries that they're now getting back. It'd be interesting to see what happens this weekend.
Yeah.
But then the rest, Lee, Salford, Leeds, Hull. Well, Hull, a bit crap, but they've won another game. And Huddersfield, poor. You can't see us not being in that four at this stage.
No. But we're also, I think we're comfortably in the top three, aren't we? Not all those three behind us are going to keep winning.
Well, particularly they play each other, don't they? But That's 12 games, but actually I looked at us after the Wakefield game, 11 games, we've played everybody once.
Yeah.
Right? Won 9 from 11.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best start we've had in the first 11 games since we moved to the Halliwell Jones in 2003.
With Wyre's Challenge Cup campaign kicking off this weekend, I thought I would make a dream Challenge Cup run, constructed using previous Wyre Cup fixtures from each round. One rule though, no repeat in a year or an opponent. So, Wyre's dream run to Wembley starts in the fifth round, where I have picked Warrington's 112-0 win over Swinton from 2011. That day in May remains the club's biggest ever victory, with Lee Breers scoring 44 points in a record-breaking encounter at the Halliwell Jones. Moving into round 6, and we visit 2010, where Wyre decimated Huddersfield away from home, beating the Giants 60-4. Chris Bridge ran in 5 tries, while his winger Chris Hicks also got a hat-trick in a stunning performance from Tony Smith's team. Next up, the quarter-finals, and another away day, but a more recent one, Wyre's win at Hull KR in 2019. Jake Mamo, Blake Austin, Tom Lynham and Ben Murdoch-Masilla were on the score sheet as Wyre repelled a late KR attack to beat them 28-22, despite 2 tries from Josh Drinkwater. Did anything ever come of him, by the way? Into the proper business now and the semi-finals. I just had to choose 2009's epic against Wigan. Wyre booked their place in the final for the first time since 1990 with a gritty, phenomenal win over the old enemy. Lee Breers and Michael Monaghan were outstanding in the halves, while centre Matt King scored 3 tries. On to the final now, and I've gone with the 2012 win over Leeds at Wembley. This was Wyre's third Challenge Cup win in 4 seasons and a magnificent, hard-fought triumph in difficult weather conditions in London to win 35-18. Australian fullback Brett Hodgson deservedly won man of the match with a wonderful fullback performance. Let's hope there might be some more Challenge Cup memories to add to this list coming this year.
Well, Daniel's made me feel old there because, I mean, his oldest memory is the semi-final in 2009, Warrington 39, Wigan 26.
Yes.
Got any memories, Sam, of the Challenge Cup, ones that stand out for you?
Well, a couple compared with what he said anyway. The quarter-final, Hull KR 22, Warrington 28... I would rather think of the Hull KR game where we went away and Lee Breers put it over for a drop goal to win.
Right, right.
In the last moment.
Was Daniel born then?
Possibly not. And I don't think Daniel would have been born on the day we went off to Keighley Cougars and watched that game because Jonathan Davis was playing then.
Right.
So I don't think Daniel would have been born. Yeah.
I can't find a... I remember going to Wilderspool and watching Warrington versus Hunslet. Hunslet were top of the second division back then. Yeah. They'd gone on this really big run and we were playing pretty well. I thought that was a Challenge Cup game and the score was, it was like 4-4 with about a minute to go and Phil Blake throws a ball almost from under the sticks. I thought to Mark Foster to go in the corner. But can I find that on Wikipedia? I think I've dreamt it. So if anyone out there was at that game, it was a mud bath. We just didn't get over the line. Phil Blake throws a ball right at the end to beat Hunslet. Let me know. And my strongest memory of a final, and we did lose it, but it was the 1990 final. I remember going down. We went to Leeds Uni on the night before to pick up a few mates in a Salford van hire, transit van. We went down to Wembley. We stayed at my girlfriend's house on Caledonian Road in Islington. and we lost. But Mike Gregory scored a fabulous try to bring us back into the game just before half-time.
I remember that.
These Warrington forwards really coming in ones. They need to be some combination of passes. This is better. That's a good ball. That's what we wanted. To Sanderson. In fact, Alec, I'd be tempted to bring Billy McGinty on because I think he's another player who's got pace and who can run.
Yes, good Lord. I think what we need now is Warrington to score a try here.
Gregory, and there is a try. Oh, yes. The captain sets the example. He shows what can be done. And just as we were saying, that ball has to be passed out by Warrington. He gives some hope. And at last, something for the Primrose and Blue to shout for.
Well, if you ever need a captain's try, this is it. A beautiful ball off young Bishop here. And watch Gregory, shows pace, strength, and what a captain's try this is.
When we went to Wembley against Wigan in 1990, it was packed. It was absolutely. I mean, you couldn't see anything. It was shit. You had that big fence up. You know, you couldn't see.
We were stood up on the seats that didn't have the backs either, did they? They were just sort of plasticky bits.
But I flew home for the first, when we went on that great run of beating, you know, the Tony Smith sides, and we kept getting to Wembley. And I can't remember what year the first one was. What was the, was it Leeds the first one? Is Daniel referring to that? Was it 2012, the first start of our dominance? And I flew home.
Oh, no, the Huddersfield. Huddersfield was the first one.
The year before, was it? Or 2 years before. I flew home from Sydney. I just flew in basically to watch the game and then fly back out again. And Wembley was empty. Like, there was all that Wembley. I was in the Wembley ring. We had tickets. A mate of mine got us tickets in that, whatever it's called. I just thought,
it is so disappointing. It is a bit soulless.
When you go and you want soulless. To, you know, you always remember those 70s Cup finals, FA Cup or Challenge Cup, and they're absolutely packed to the rafters. I don't know. It just doesn't have that feel anymore.
I agree with you. It is. And this is exactly the same with the Halliwell Jones. They are superb, much improved stadiums, but they lack something.
They lack piss coming down from the back of the stand.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. On to the casualty ward. A matron is still looking after Adam Holroyd with his dislocated shoulder, but also admitted to the ward under matron's watchful eye. On Matty Nicholson with his finger out for 10 weeks and due an operation. And Matty Russell with concussion. Connor Wrench, on the other hand, has been discharged by matron and played at Vicky Park on the weekend. We have no suspensions, with even naughty boy Gil Dudson now free to play, although it is rumoured, as we mentioned before, Matt Dufty broke his thumb in the Super League victory away at Catalans, and a virus also swept through the team a couple of weeks ago. Do we bring Dudson back in? Is there a place for Dudson? I don't think there is, Sam, based on the way we're playing. I'd like to see some just consistency and keeping the same team sheet.
I agree. He doesn't, for me, he doesn't come straight back in, because the four main props who've played, five I suppose, who've played, have all done well. And it will just be, if we continue to do well and if we play the same team for the next 3 weeks, then somebody will need a rest, and it's how he then rotates. So when he gets his chance, it's up to him to do something to keep it, isn't it?
But not until then.
Sorry, Ralphie. 18 minutes late. Congestion. Romanians fishing off the Cantilever Bridge.
Oh, Darryl, I have to say, I'm not sure I'm up to one of your commune, I mean, health retreat spin classes. Oh, why, I haven't had to backpedal this hard since the day after welcoming the Fijian team to the Rugby League World Cup.
Well, I have to say, Ralphie, you look fantastic in Lycra.
Oh, yes, yes, I know I do look very sexy, Dazza, but I'm not sure it was a good idea to dress Professor Broomhead in Lycra. From head to camel toe. He's generating enough static electricity to solve the British energy crisis.
I've instructed the Building Something Special Players Group, Ralphie, to cycle in a low gear, you know, to simulate in their legs an afternoon's mud bath away at Wakefield Trinity.
But I see young Danny Walker seems to have lost his chain, his handlebars, his bike pump and his front and back wheels.
Yes, I see, Ralphie. He's clearly got his bike programme set to replicate parking at a cup tie away in Widnes.
And what on earth is wrong with Ben Curry? I've never seen anybody look so uncomfortable sat on a seat.
Ah, that'll be chafing, Ralphie. I told him to grease up before taking to the saddle. But there's a shortage of lube, what with the Catalans on the fixture list and the players preparing for Corey Norman's visit.
Oh, hasn't Ben Zahela's yoga classes loosened them up? Here he is now, look. Somebody's let him out of his little video box. Over here, Ben.
Is that you, Mother? Oh, what would Mother do?
The thing is, Ralphie, we're starting to see a build-up of static muscle memory that's leading to a pathway that we've tried and failed before on, but we're still willing to repeat the same exercise.
Well, that's no way to talk about Matty Russell. Anyway. I'm really not sure there's any suppleness to the mindset either, Darryl.
I'll send for our in-house psychiatrist, Ralphie. Sir H.J. Why, here he comes now.
I didn't get where I am today, riding my bike down the A49 without popping into the Lower Angel and having my water bottle rinsed out by a hairy glass collector twice my age, known as Gullible Derek.
Super.
Not now, Benji.
I've put our two halfbacks, Ralphie, Williams and Tapwater, on the tandem bicycle.
But why on earth are they facing each other?
Because a bit like their gameplay, Ralphie, they're riding in opposite directions.
Oh, tackle sacks. What's with all these lazy e-scooters?
Oh, they're for all our props, Ralphie, that are over 45.
It's probably best you put Cassiano in the back of a tuk-tuk. Well, at least Slosh Maguire seems to be out of his seat.
Absolutely, Ralphie. He's a vicious cycle.
Oh, shut up, you. Why don't you try writing and recording this shit every week? Let's get back to the script, Owl. Do you feel that the commune, I mean, health retreat, is starting to build something special? I mean, let's be honest, we've been open a couple of months now, and bookings are less guaranteed than Toby King turning up at John Lennon Airport with his passport. You're no longer at Castleford, Darryl, where you were a big fish in a small pond.
Why, that's it, Ralphie. The retreat's pond. We can go all al fresco with the spin classes. Quick, dust them off. Dust off the pedlos.
Oh, Darryl, dare I say, this could be the last throw of your dice.
It's shit or bust now, Ralphie.
Yes, based on Fitzpatrick's running of the club at the moment and your tactics, it's probably both.
I'm interested to know what's coming. I feel we're building for something. I don't know what we're building for.
We're not.
Oh, well, does that mean all of my excitement goes?
Well, I wrote this series before the season kicked off, and it's negative, it's quite derogatory towards the team, which is fine, but I've had to get my pen out this week and write another episode. But I put every episode in to my new AI computer, and it's written me an episode. So, I mean, it's got no humour in it, which is exactly the way that I write it. So it'll be fine.
Is it the AI computer that's putting the deliberate groans in by the crowd now? Because that's saving me a job. I'm not having to groan because the audience are groaning.
I'll get Dennis and I. We'll record the AI version and see if you can spot the difference. Okay, maybe I'll do a whole episode based on AI, and we can see if you can spot the difference. Or I'll do it next week. Well, maybe I will. Maybe I will do it next week.
Maybe one. Maybe it's this one.
Join him on a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of vlogging and the M62. Dennis Waywell is on a mission to keep rugby league alive. In a world of camper vans and reasonably priced tarpaulins. In northern towns where kids have blue drinks for their tea. Introducing Tackle Bags. No way, Tackle Vlogs. No, hang on, Tackle Books. Nope, that's wrong too. I had it right the first time. He just can't even be arsed to rebadge it. Welcome to Dennis's Tackle Bags. Or just skip forward for about 15 minutes.
Well, there's his music. But he isn't here.
Is he joining?
Cheers. Cheers, Sam. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yes. All the best. Oh. Do you know what? Oh, you won't get that drop-off this week in the listeners, will you?
No,
where they fast-forward.
Where this peak just goes down. Yeah. I actually haven't watched the whole of the St. Helens one because I was a bit depressed watching it. So I switched over to something else on the other channel. But I'm presuming he's coming back for Lee. I don't know, but I'm thinking he is.
I think Dennis himself was a bit depressed at St. Helens. Was everywhere shut. No, you can't get your camera out.
45 minutes of watching Dennis go around St. Helens depressed. That's what it seemed to be. Although there was a cooking section. Didn't he cook some pasta at some point or something? That was the point where I went, what am I doing with my fucking life? And I turned it off.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Three games to predict, starting with the Challenge Cup this coming Saturday away at Catalans, followed by Warrington Rejects at home. Oh, no, sorry, Warrington Rejects away. At
yes, Lee. Away.
And then we're off to St James's Park for the Magic Weekend against Dull. Here's Hal.
Hello Norms, it's your favorite computer Hal. Anointed from head to toe in algorithmic bullshit. Okay, strap in. Here are my predictions for the next three matches. Challenge Cup, last 16. Catalans versus Warrington. Catalans to win by 8 points. Round 13. Lee Misfits versus Warrington. Wire to win by 5 points. Magic Weekend. Dull FC versus Warrington. Wire to win by 13 points. Right then, I'm off to watch back the King's coronation, as I wouldn't mind having a crack at that penny bird in the teal dress. She can polish my orb and sit on my crown jewels any day.
Well, still quite a bit of positivity amongst the Hal algorithms, or so I thought, until they said that Catalans will beat Wire by 8.
Yes.
Are you two in agreement with that?
If I go with the easy one, first out of the three, I think we will beat Hull comfortably at St James's Park.
Really? You think so?
Comfortably, yeah.
But they've got a bit better, haven't
16
they?
Points. They've got a bit better, but they're still shit.
Are they? So they're no longer dull, they're more like lull, are they? Is that where we are now?
Yeah, well, maybe. So I think they're shit. The other two, I think Catalans are favourites.
Yeah.
So Catalans by 8, yes, I can understand that. But I also think Lee are favourites at home against
us. They're going
to
want to right crack at us, aren't they? They've got enough players in that team that are going to big themselves up for the one match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game, actually. And I think it could go either way, but that suddenly... Who'd have thought Lee away would be a big match?
It'd be a good atmosphere, won't it, Lee?
Yeah,
it's a good stadium.
I mean.
Yeah, because they've got fuck all else to do there.
The 5 or 6 times they've come up in recent years... before they've won a game or two and just gone straight back down. But this year they look, and as you say, the Wire ejects, points to prove, things like that. So I'm going to say Lee by 6.
Ooh, right. I didn't mention this. I forgot to mention it, but I had a real go at the referee in the Wigan game. I thought reffed it really poorly. But one thing I did want to add was that I didn't say it at the time, was I thought the ref in the St Helens game was excellent. I've got no qualms with the game at Saints. I do have a worry who the ref will be in France, in the south of France, because I think if there's ever a pressurised environment where the ref might, you know, swallow his whistle for the home team, that's the one. So I think I want to see who the ref is before I make a judgement on that. I think we can win it, and I think we're also due a good 80-minute performance. I don't think we've had that. So at some point, we're going to have a... You know, we talk about peaks and troughs. I think we could peak against a good team at some point.
And I think we could do... I agree, any of these three games, we could.
We can run away with the game very quickly with our backs.
Yes.
We've got a lot of speed. Yeah. So, you know, it's what? What time is it now? It's 8:36 on a Sunday evening in Sydney. It's Mothering Sunday. I've had a lovely day. I had a lovely weekend. So I'm going to go for 3 wins, Sam. I'm going to say we're going to win all 3, eh?
I hope you're correct. I hope you're right.
Right, that's it. Please sign up to our Patreon or subscribe to Tacklebags on YouTube. You'll find ways to do both in the description to this pod. Okay, with Eurovision coming to an end in Liverpool, it's a whipping off of his miniskirt from Sam.
All the best.
And making your mind up from Dennis. And a toasting of My Books Fizz from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hey, I tell you what, if we get rid of him, we could just split the Patreon money.
Oh, good idea. It always feels so nice.